You know, when people think about men like Adolf Hitler, and when they think about the atrocities that he was able to bring about to the people, the Jews, when they killed a lot of them and used their bodies to make furniture and lamps, the skin of their bodies, and burn them in gas chambers. You hear people say something like that, the world would have been better if he were never born. But have you ever noticed some people live to be 40, 50, 60 years old, and the whole life may not be on the scale of Hitler, but they've done wickedly, steal from people, beat people, rob people, and then if they're not bad enough, then they go get on drugs and exacerbate the situation. Haven't you ever felt like some people would be better off dead? Or that the world would be a better place if they were gone? Am I the only person that have thoughts like that?
No.
Well, today we're going to talk about a man who lived too long. A man that lived too long. And if we look at this passage closely, we might think, or we might find that some of us should have already been gone. When we look at how we live, when we look at our lack of productivity, and what is God being able to get out of our lives, are we really doing him any good? The book of Luke has a passage about that. Talk about a tree. It's growing on the ground. And every year, the man that owned the tree would come and would be no fruit on the tree. Man got upset and said, cut it down. I came this year. I came last year, there's no fruit. They said, please, let me take the dung and put it around and fertilize it and give it one more year. And if it grow good, if not, then cut it. What are we doing with the time that we have? Let's take it back about 3 centuries and let's see what's going on in the life of Hezekiah. We've dealt with revival. In our last chapter, we dealt with faith. What is faith? How do we determine what faith is? How do we determine if faith is valid? Now we're going to deal with life. It says in chapter 20, verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. You know, I get that Isaiah wants you to understand. I'm not adding anything to this. Because we saw in the last chapter, this is Isaiah's method. This is what God said. You can like it or not. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to make it either positive or negative in your opinion. I'm just going to tell you what God said. What did God say here? Set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Did we get that double thing again? I tell you this in the Hebrew. Mm-hmm. You will die and not live. So if you're just thinking that you're just going to die, I want you to understand, this is very serious. God repeats it. Mm-hmm. How many people here would consider that a positive message? Mm-hmm. How many would consider it a negative message? When a man is saying what God has to say, he does not get to determine whether the message is positive or negative because it comes from God. It's always going to be true. You don't want to look for what is positive. You don't want to look for what is negative. You want to look for what is true. I mean, if you got a car, you take it to the mechanic, you don't want him to tell you this is the best car ever and it won't change gears. Leak your transmission fluid. Even my son riding with me one day, man, this thing's about to tear up. Yeah, we're changing the truck. You think I wanted to get all excited about going to take the car to the shop? But it was going to tear up. This man is giving him the truth. You're going to die and not live. I submit to you, if you want to talk about positive and negative, if you change the true and false, and if everything that's true that comes from God is positive, you will never find a negative message in the scripture for you. Now you'll find some for other people, while people lie in the scriptures. You all know that, right? The devil lied. The men of Job lied. There's a lot of lies in the scripture, but God doesn't lie. Talked about that yesterday, didn't we, Brother Rich? And he says, you're going to die and not live. That's set your house in order and get your will together. That's what we would say. Who are you going to leave stuff to? Because at this time, Hezekiah does not have a child. So who are you going to leave things to? Who are you going to bequeath what you have to? That's a question even for someone that's 13. You have stuff. Who do you want to have it? Who do you want to have what you leave behind? Set it in order. Because God said, you're out of here. Verse 2, do we read it?
Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore.
How many people in here have heard that read many times and taught about Hezekiah turning his face to the wall, praying and crying, and did not know anything about the life of Hezekiah? Now that you know that Hezekiah literally went through and went against his daddy's lifestyle, his daddy's orders, went back and opened up the house of the Lord, got rid of the high places where they were worshiping other gods, made the people clean themselves up and start worshiping God, does it not mean a little more to you? He wasn't like, well, Lord, I walked and I said, hello, how you doing, sir? Hello, ma'am, how you doing? I was walking before you perfect. It was nothing that Saul. This man had put his life on the line. This man had went against what his father has done and trusted in a God that didn't look like he was going to come through for them because they had sinned so much that God's wrath was right there at that door. But because of how he turned his back to the, turned his face to the Lord, the Lord gave them a reprieve. And many people think this is before the time of what we did with Reshecha, and that it's not in the same order as we're reading it. So I just want to lay that out there, so as you go through and you read and you study on your own to see if Tim is telling you the truth, that you will see this and say, Tim didn't say that. Well, it really is not that relevant. The order that it comes in, whether it's before or after, the man is about to die, and then he can't live, and what he does is he goes to God. Now, why is it that when Isaiah said that he believes it? Isaiah had a track record. Would to God that when we speak about the Lord and what he has to say is so true, and it's so righteous that when we talk to people, they can believe it. But in this day and time, if Isaiah was on TBN and gave that message, they wouldn't let him on it no more. Because you got to talk about the prosperity. You got to talk about happiness. Here, this man is a sick. And don't you want anybody in here know that Isaiah wrote the book of Isaiah? 66 chapters?
Right.
This man, the prophet, comes to a man and said, you're going to die, God said it, and not live. Now, most of the time when prophets are supposed to come nowadays, if you're sick, they're supposed to tell you, you're going to get well. He gave the exact opposite. No, you ain't getting well, you're going to die. God said it. Get your house in order. But Hezekiah said, I'm going to go over your head. I'm going to talk to God about it. I'm going to give God a petition. I'm going to acknowledge what he said by you. But at the same time, I'm going to remind, this is God, this is how I live. This is how I walk before you, and I'm not ready to die. I don't want to go to that shadowy place as we Hebrews see it called Sheol. So he turned his face to the wall, did not argue with Isaiah, did not ask him, well, why are you talking about me? Why I got to die? Look at what all I did. You know, sometimes we argue with the wrong person.
Okay.
It's like if Ann tell one of the young men, tell D something, and he tells D'Air, and D'Air get upset with D, it's like, angry with the wrong one. You need to go and tell Mama, I didn't do that. That's the one who can deal with it. He turns his face to the wall, talks to God about what's going on, how he feels about it, and then read on to see what happens.
And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord.
Yeah, listen at this.
And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake.
Now do you see why many people say that this actually happened before the siege? Because now we know Rabshakeh, he's gone. His son is reigning in his stead. We also know that 185,000 of them have been smitten. And in some of the archaeological finds, it talks about, when they talk about Hezekiah's like a little caged bird. It's like we just left. Yeah, he shut up. And it's like we just left and we didn't capture him. They don't go and talk about how they got beat down. They tell the news. They manage the news to be like they wanted it to be on their artifacts. But here's the issue. God heard his prayer. God said, you're not going to die now. I'm going to add to your life 15 more years. And not only am I going to give you 15 years, I'm going to destroy your enemies. And things are going to be well with you. This is when you exercise faith. You listen to God's word and you turn to him. He could have just said, no, I ain't going to die. I ain't going to receive that.
I'm not claiming that.
Have any of you ever heard that before? You know you telling somebody the truth. We ain't talking biblically now. We don't even talking biblically. You just tell, man, if you don't pay your mortgage, they're going to take you out. I don't receive that. Satan be gone. This man, when he gets the truth from God, he goes to God and get the information from God, and that's what he exercises faith in. Read on, please.
And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered.
I submit to you that if he had had a lump of figs and laid it on the boil before, he still would have died. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you now that it doesn't matter what your medicine is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who laid their hand on top of you. It really don't matter if they speak in tongues over you. You could even give you a heart transplant. If God has decided your time is up, you would die with a new heart, and they can take it out and give it to somebody else. Mm. It wasn't really the medicine that healed Hezekiah by itself. It was the God that was behind the medicine. Yes. Because he had said, I'm going to live. Now the medicine could work. He could have took a piece of bubble gum and put it on. He didn't have bubble gum back then. He could have took a hair. He could have took the wind that blows. He said, you go out there and the east wind will blow over you and you'll be healed. It's because it's time for the healing. Right. Understand that the healing comes at any time when God says so. Yes. When you get it from God, it won't matter if Tim says it. I can say, I don't think God will ever heal you. And you come back and say, I thought you said it. I did say, but I was wrong. Uh-huh. Can't you tell I was wrong? Uh-huh. I'm just admitting it so you don't rub it in. Read on, please.
And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?
Understand that in this passage in verse 6, he was telling him that he was going to defend the city. So we don't have the same track record of all of the victories that God had given them. We don't have 185,000 already killed. Right. We don't have Rabshakeh killed. So as you can see in the beginning, since this precedes what happened in chapter 19, God was giving him an aid to faith. What do we have an aid to faith? Because every time God says something, do you have to have a sign? If you do, you're one of those people that have less faith. Jesus says a wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. He said, I'm going to give you the one sign that you're going to get. That of the prophet Jonah. He was in the belly of the great fish. King James would say, well, but if you look the word up, it's a great fish. 3 days and 3 nights. He also says that tongues were for a sign for them that believe not. Not for them that believe. When you start looking for a sign, you're going to fall right in there where Judas was. Judas said, I believe that's how I put my fingers in his hand where the nails were. You tell me you're alive if you want to, and I don't believe. Lest I thrust my hand inside, I ain't ever going to believe y'all. Thomas, thank you. Judas was dead. You're a good wife. So since I get that right, it was Thomas and not Judas, but Jesus told him something that was really powerful. You believe because you see me. And what he just said, the Lord of me and the God of me, or the Son of my God, he said, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. So here, Hezekiah, in asking for a sign, that's not the epitome or the great example of faith. That's the symbol of the lack thereof. Just like when we went through the book of Judges with Gideon, God gave him the sign, well, wait a minute, God, let's do it this way. And then they do it this way. All right, I'll go fight, but I don't want to. So he gave him a sign. What was the sign going to be?
And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees.
So instead of this, let the dial go back. Some people say these they were talking about the sundial, the way the steps were made, and some say it was actual sundial. I'm going to lean on the side that it was an actual sundial and not deal with the steps. They have their reasons for believing that it was not, but I have my reasons for believing that it was a real sundial, and we'll see it revealed in the rest of the chapter. Go ahead.
And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick.
So now we've seen the sign of the dial going backwards 10 degrees, which you could say in our term would be 10 hours, however they had it set up then, whether it was hours. And now we see that Hezekiah's sign is taking place, and we see that he is well. Did you catch that in that last verse? They were sent presents that Hezekiah, which verb is there? Had been sick. Now, in order for us to fully develop what's going on with the man that lived too long, we must take one little visit over here to 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and 24, and then we'll be able to come back to and finish that up in the King. 32 and 24. I tried not to have to do it, but it was just so juicy that I said I better do it. Read it, please, Dree.
In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign.
Now, so we're back at the same place where we were in the King. And so this is like a synopsis. Hezekiah was sick to the death. God gave him a sign. We ain't going through the whole prayer. Mm-hmm. This is what happened, and this is what happened again. Now look at what verse 25 says.
But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up.
Okay, so when I say that this subject would be the man that lived too long, if before you were sick to the death, you can tell God, remember. Do you remember, Lord? Do you remember the time when I used to walk before you right? Do you remember the time when I did all these righteous things before you? Do you remember the time of the stuff that I used to do? But now, the Bible says you don't render to the Lord like you did before. Almost like a man married a woman that be married, like, what you mean go to work? You still got your good job. I'm tired. I worked all my life. I ain't got to work no more. So when I say the man that lived too long, if a man could go to God and say, remember how I lived, God answers his prayer. Don't you feel that the man was telling the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Here says the man, now he don't even render to God what he did before. What we call that? Backslide?
Mm-hmm.
Can we call that backslide, please? Thank you. So now he's backslidden. What do you mean backslidden? I didn't say he wouldn't serve other gods. I didn't say he went out and became whorish, but what I am saying, he's done the equivalent to what we see in Revelation chapter 2 when it says to the church in Ephesus, I know you. I know how you know them. You hear those people say they're apostles. You go test them, and you find out they ain't what they say they are. And I like that about you. And you can't even bear people that call themselves they're going to be righteous and they don't be righteous. But I only have one thing against you. Anybody remember what that one thing was that Jesus had against us?
First love.
What's the difference in Hezekiah and the church in Ephesus? The man that lived too long. I submit to you that if any of us today are living a righteous and a godly life, and if we could die today and be all right with God, but he allows us another 15 to 20 years, and we go out here and be wicked, we live too long. Mm-hmm. We live too long. If you live long enough to make God irrelevant in your life, you have lived too long.
Yes.
Read some more, please.
Chronicles.
Yes, ain't Chronicles. They're going to get juicy.
But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up.
Now his heart is lifted up. We can call that pride. Mm-hmm. Not the pride that they have in Atlanta in the parade. We're just talking about pride that can where you feel good about yourself. Not that other kind of pride. Read on.
Therefore there was wrath upon him.
Whoa, wait a minute. The same God that gave him an extension put wrath on him. Don't you ever let somebody tell you because you're walking in the blessings of God today that his hands are tied. He gave Adam everything and put him out. Every time you think God won't deal with you in a certain way, think back to Adam and ask yourself, have I ever been as righteous as Adam? Have I ever been as wise as Adam? Have I ever been as pretty as Adam? Don't you think Adam had no blemishes? Believe that, okay? There was nothing wrong with Adam at all. He was very good. And God dealt with him severely. Mm-hmm. So now Hezekiah is not rendered to God like he once did. Now he's lifted up in pride. And as a consequence of that, over Hezekiah, I'll make this be Hezekiah right here. Here, I'm not going to draw as well as you. This is Hezekiah. And over Hezekiah is God's wrath. I'll make that like those lightning bolts we had at Stone Mountain over day. God's wrath is just hovering over his head. Read.
And upon Judah and Jerusalem.
But again, when you're the leader, you're the leader. Whenever he did right, everybody was blessed. The Assyrians were beat down. Rabshakeh's dead. Sennacherib's gone. And now, because you got your heart lifted up in pride, now the wrath of God is going to be over you and it's all over Judah because of you. When we men don't do like God say, we make it hard on our families. We make it hard on our descendants. Sometimes we make it hard on our co-workers and even just people that's around us. Read, please.
Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
I want to interject right here. His pride was lifted up. One thing we have to say about Hezekiah, we can say he was stupid by having his heart lifted up in pride. Does anybody agree that that was stupid?
Yes.
What about us that don't obey God right
same
now?
Thing.
Don't our heart have to be lifted up in pride?
That's
he ain't
right.
going to deal with me like that. If I ignore God, he'll go away. Try that with a toothache.
Oh.
Try to ignore it and see if it go away. I mean, one of those good ones, one of those candies, you know, that, wake up. But Hezekiah repented. Understand this. Saints, we can go through a revival 30 times, but Satan is not going to stop coming. Your flesh is not going to stop being flesh. You're not going to stop being bothered by what goes on in the world, let alone in your own heart. But he repented. When he repented, it said Judah repented. Now go back and read that verse again so I can tie it all together, please.
Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah.
Now this is the thing. If we know that we haven't been doing right, men, if we know that we haven't been doing right by our families, families, if we know we haven't been doing right towards each other, and we have not humbled our heart towards God, humble our hearts while we have the chance. Humble our hearts to keep God's wrath from coming on us. Because if we keep living like God does not exist, and that his commandments and his laws, we keep treating them like they're suggestions and opinions, there's going to be a consequence. God's commandments and God's laws are not suggestions and opinions.
Right.
Not opinions only. Okay? Read on, please.
And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver, and for gold, and for precious stones, and for spices.
Look at how the man, look at how the Lord let the man have riches. Although God has saved his life, although the man got into pride and God's wrath was on him, he turned around and God was quick to forgive, ready to forgive. And when he was forgiven, he got his blessings, he got riches. You may not get riches, and you might, but as long as you have the blessings of God on you, what more can you want? You think you're going to live to be 100 years old? It's still not long in comparison to time. You got all this stuff now, and in eternity you have nothing. Please read.
And for spices, and for shields, and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities, and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance. For God had given him substance very much.
Do you see what all this man had? Listen at the list. First of all, it just says, starts out with exceeding much riches. So we can't name everything. We start out with that. Then we give him honor. Plenty of silver, gold, precious stones, spices, shields for war, pleasant jewels. I don't know what those are. I'd like to have about five. I might be able to pay off my house. And it says storehouses for increase of corn, the grain, wine, some bubbly, oil to cook in, to bathe in, you know, to make their body look beautiful and everything. Animals, food to eat, animals to take care of the burdens. Cities. I'd like to just have one city. This man has cities. And it says, possessions of flocks and herds. And on top of that, it's in abundance. And then it says in verse 30, he did something else marvelous. Read.
This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works.
Hezekiah prospered, the scripture said, all his works after he made this repentance. Don't seem like he's lived too long yet. It seemed like it at first in the pride, didn't it? But he repented. Now God has blessed him beyond measure. The man even did some what they call engineering things and got water to come down to where they got to pull the shalom, and I think they tunneled 500 feet underground, the man did, to be able to get water, and the water would come into the city, so when they were in besiege, they could get water, and the other people don't even know they got water in the city. He was able to do all of that stuff with the blessings of God, but then if it stopped right there, it would be all right. But we got verse 31 to deal with. Read it, please.
Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land.
Of the wonder that was what?
Done in the land.
That's the reason that I say right there, when it talks about the sundial going backwards, I don't believe it was a refraction of light. I don't believe that it was just the steps. I believe that something had taken place in the land that these people in Babylon that love astrology knew about. The people in Babylon loved astrology and astronomy so much so that they had a group of people called the Magi. But God put Daniel over them. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, they saw his star in the east. Not in the east. They were this way. This is the way Babylon is. Okay? They saw the star in the east. The east is that way. They were in the west. And they knew that something was happening different in the sky. And so they had heard of a wonder that had happened in the land, and they came to see about it. So read 31 again, please.
Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart.
Okay, you can go back to 2 Kings 20, and we'll finish up in 2 Kings 20, but here's where I want to go. What will we do on the day the Lord tries our heart? What will we be like in the day the Lord tries our heart? Do we think that God only tried Hezekiah's heart and we read about it and that's just for him? Bible said Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. The Bible says explicitly, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 1 Peter talks about, consider it not strange concerning the fiery trial, that is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. It said God left him not to abuse him, not to hurt him, but to try his heart, to see where his heart was. Because remember, we talked earlier, and I talked about people talking about, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I was saying that there was a time when Paul said I had lack, and there was a time when I had abundance. And in a time of abundance, it's just as much to be tried as it is in lack. Read what he did in when we're back in 2 Kings chapter 20. I think you can go back to verse 12, and it'll tie us back to the filler that we were given in 2 Chronicles.
At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick.
So now we got both sides of that. He sent presents because he had heard he'd been sick, but they also wanted to inquire of the strange thing that was done in the land. So now we got a picture. Now they call him Berodach-Baladan here. I believe it's in Isaiah 39. He's called Merodach-Baladan. Read on, please.
And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not.
Now what do you think about that? I mean, just without being biblical for a minute. You're going to take somebody in your house and show them all your secret places. Well, this is where I keep all my gold. This is where my diamonds is. And my silver's right here. And then my stacks on deck down here. That's all my money. And this is where I keep my guns. This is where I keep all my ammunition. And right here up under the floor right here, this is where I keep my jewels and my look at here, all my beautiful clothes, my silk clothing, and every other thing that's worth something I got over there. He showed him all of that. And why was that? Why did this man expose himself to show people stuff in the house of the Lord that shouldn't even been in the house of the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I talk about Deuteronomy so much. So Deuteronomy let me know when they mess up, even if the scripture don't come and tell me in the passage. You were supposed to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm not going to show you that much about my house. But this man got a present. And I submit to you that the man showed him honor and gave him a present and it blinded his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There are many girls that have been pregnant because somebody showed them attention and gave them a present.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear, you don't tell the truth anymore. Nowadays, they don't even have to give them a present. Not even a happy meal. But this man, he received honor from somebody. Let me tell you something. When we receive honor from the wrong people, there's a price. Hezekiah received honor from people that worshiped another god, and there was a high price. There's a high price to be accepted by those that don't love God. There's always a price to it. They gave him honor. They sent him presents. The Bible says that a gift will blind the eyes of the wise. So now he received honor. They gave him a present. And what did he do? He relished in it. Now somebody, can we quote Jesse Jackson? I am somebody. Why do you say that, Tim? Because I believe that it's in his mind. Understand, this is what I believe. This is not scriptural, but I think I got a good reason for it. Do you remember the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba? She came to see Solomon, and the people had heard of his fame and his wealth throughout all the land. And you ain't heard of people coming to see these other kings that they've been blessed and that they've been set up on high. And it's like, I've arrived. I'm somebody. I'm getting recognition from the world. Saints, unless we get like Jesus. Jesus told the people one time in John 5, I believe it's either 5 through 44, how can you believe and receive honor one from another and seek not only the honor that come from God only? When this man was willing to take that honor, when this man was willing to do what it took to keep it, he exposed all of the riches and gold to a people that meant no good to him. Read some more, please.
Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men?
What did these men say? Now notice at this time, all the other times he liked it when Isaiah came, didn't he? He sent to Isaiah when he was getting ready to get whipped. He sent to Isaiah again when he was getting ready to get whipped. And this time, when Isaiah came one time and then told him he was going to die, we were glad to hear when Isaiah said, you're going to live. Now this time, here come Isaiah again without his provocation. And what did Isaiah say to him?
And from whence came they unto thee?
What's up with these men and where they come from?
And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon.
Now, those of us who are familiar with the scripture will understand that this is the very nation that's going to take the people into captivity. That's where we're going to get our book of Ezekiel. That's where we're going to get our book of Daniel. And that's where we're going to get some of the major prophecies of how Jesus is going to come and be king of the earth. Because they're going to be taken into Babylon as captives. That's why we're going to find Jeremiah getting beaten. Because Jeremiah is going to tell him, you're going to Babylon. You are going to Babylon or else your own women and children are going to be killed. One way or the other, you will bow the knee to the king of Babylon. Please read.
And he said, what have they seen in thine house?
What did they see?
And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them.
That's almost like taking this red dry erase marker and right on the front of my head, fool! And not expect somebody to read it when I walk through the town. Read on, please.
And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord.
Now this time he used just a little slightly different formula. Most times he said, thus saith the Lord. But this time he said, I want you to hear this. Hear the word of the Lord. What is the word of the Lord?
Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, said the Lord.
I submit to you, when we look at our lives, when you look at Hezekiah's life, everything he showed them is that he exposed to them, they took, right? Mm-hmm. Are they going to take? I submit to you that when we expose our children to everything on TV, everything that it says we expose them to in this culture, everything we expose ourselves to in this culture, eventually it's going to take us away too. Oh, yes. We're going to be fornicating. We'll be doing adultery. We'll be having our children believe in evolution. We'll have our children being disobedient to parents. And we'll be acting like we're off the job and let TV be the ones that take care of our children. Why? Because when you expose yourself to the ones that seek to destroy you, they have a way of coming and taking that which is good. We expose a good heart, you expose your righteousness, you expose your purity, they'll take it. They will take it. Same thing from boys and girls. They'll take your purity. They'll take your money. They'll take your time. They'll take your life. And there'll still never be enough. You will become a slave to that you expose yourself to if it's not God. Because there's always someone seeking to make us slaves. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about physical slaves like by a man. I'm talking about it's either God that we're going to serve or it'll either be Satan. And in this world, it manifests itself as it's going to either be our culture, which is driven by the arts.
That's right.
It is driven by the arts, the national education, what's that NEA called? In the NEA, the National Education Association or something like that, they have wicked agendas. And we send our children there. And we expose them to all the treasures. If your children not your treasure, who is?
Lord have mercy.
And we expose them. Don't protect them. Hezekiah didn't protect. Hezekiah exposed it, and they covered it. And he said, one day they're going to come and take it. Not just the stuff that you have. Read on, what did he say else they're going to take?
And of thy sons that shall issue from thee.
They're going to take your sons. I'm prophesying you're going to have a son. Didn't he say of your son that shall issue from thee? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Which thou shalt beget, shall they take away.
They're going to take the son that you're going to have. And you know you'd love to have a son. You don't have one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you you're going to have one, and they're going to take him.
And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon.
And they're going to make them eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. In other words, they're not going to be on top. They're going to be servants. We know.
Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days?
Well, the way that is written, well, the 15th time I read that, I still didn't like it. What you mean good? That as long as everything is good for me, but it's messed up in my children days. But I was able to look in, it's a group of men that used to do writings called Kill and Delete. And they were showing that that could literally mean that it's good that we can have peace at this particular time, but not that we're excited about it happening in my son's day. Good that it's good whatever God says, but at least we're going to have peace right now. Because the way that I was reading it to start with is like God saying, Tim, you know what? You have really messed up bad, but I'm going to bring judgment in the days of your son. And it'd be like, whew, Lord, I don't have to say it. But you know, that's what most of us do. We raise our children up to have an unhealthy disrespect for God. God's word is not paramount. We've exposed our treasure to the Babylonian world and ungodliness of this society. And often we would go to our graves and our children would never learn to love God's word because of a direct thing that we've done. And we may feel it's okay. We go on to our grave and the judgment. But we bring children in the world and don't prepare them for the judgment of God. That is so cruel and so wicked. It's bad enough we bring a child into the world and the child has to die. What do you bring a child into the world for? Just so it can die? And not want to? Unless you can bring a child into the world and give it an opportunity of life and life eternal, as a parent, I have failed. Don't bring a child here just to die. Bring a child here to give that child a chance at life, and all life is in God. Please read.
And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit, and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead.
The last portion on this, where I say the man that lived too long, Hezekiah lived long enough to make this boy, Manasseh. Does anybody know anything about Big Manasseh? One of the most wicked kings that ever put on a robe. One of the most wicked kings that ever sat upon the throne. In that 15 years that Hezekiah was given, He lifted his heart up in pride. He exposed all the riches of the nation. Even got his whole nation led into captivity because the seed that he sent is the one that God said they were going to come and take them. Mm-hmm. And then he brought them Manasseh. Mm. Lord have mercy. The man that lived too long. If he had died right when Isaiah said it, when we look through the book of Kings, we would probably say, you know what? We would probably be debating whether Hezekiah was more righteous than David. Hmm. We would probably say, you know, Hezekiah, I can't find anything on him. Have we lived too long? Hmm. There have been times in my life that I have lived too long, that I should have been dead. But through God's providence, I don't mean it in the sense of like his just providence of his word. I'm talking about him putting something on my backside. I was allowed to repent and humble myself and turn it around. I'm going to tell you today, before I would turn my back on God, I would rather die a physical death than to experience spiritual death from God. Is anyone out here today that know they have lived too long? Is anyone out here today know that their life is really so far outside from God? Why shouldn't even be around? If there's someone in that position today, repent. Turn. God is ready to hear when a man will humble himself. I mean, humble himself. Think of God in terms of a king. Don't think of him as Santa Claus. Don't think of him as a grandpa up in the sky. Think of him as king. King that rules. And when you think of him as king, a king that rules, you bow down. This is when you read in what we call the Old Testament, the Tanakh, the kings would come in and rule with power. If you didn't bow down and be their servant, they killed you. Understand, that's what the Bible teaches about the God of the Scripture. It teaches it about Jesus. If you don't understand, you don't understand his second coming. If we know that we have not been bowing down and our heart lifted up and bow down to him, irrespective of what friends say, don't live too long. Repent and see what God will do for you. That's all that I have on that today. The man that lived too long, he could be us. He really could. But if we repent, eternal life is the promise that God has for us. I want to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for that one word that you have in the scripture, repentance. I ask you to help us to know that we're not doing and we're not following your will, that we will repent and be what you would have us to be, so that you can make out of us what you want to have made, so that we will not expose everything that you've given us, all of our precious things, continually to the world, and not protect them. We ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, and for his body's sake, the church. Amen.